It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. And
it
if
sure
you're,
is.
it is, isn't it? I know. And if you're looking for something, the perfect gift for a friend or for yourself, I recommend, maybe you can recommend it because it sounds really self-serving and narcissistic when I recommend it. The wonderful oral history of Star Trek, the 50-year mission.
Would that be the 50-year mission? Volume one and two?
Volume one. Now, I want to make an important distinction. Volume one, available now in paperback. Volume two, only in hardcover still.
Right.
So, but you can get the audio version, get the digital version. You can get them all. Because
get
maybe
them
you
all.
Want them
get
all
of them.
You know, because that would be ideal. I would prefer you get them all if I had my druthers, as they say. And then, of course, also our other books, which are worth checking out. Nobody Does It Better, also available in hardcover and now in paperback.
That's about James Bond, isn't it?
How'd you guess?
It's
about James Bond.
Because nobody Indeed. Does it better, that's why.
It's a great book about James Bond. So as you get ready for the inevitable release of No Time to Die sometime in the next decade.
There's no time to release.
You want to pick up No Time to Die, again, also available on digital audio and in hardcover and paperback from Tor Forge. And if you want to do a deeper dive, check out So Say We All, our oral history of both Battlestar Galactica series, which is only available in hardcover. And I don't believe there's an audiobook. I just think a digital. I'm not sure why they didn't do an audiobook. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll just record our own and we'll show them. So anyway, if you're thinking about the holidays and wondering what to get, please check out my books with Ed Gross, The 50-Year Mission, Volume 1 and 2, So Say We All, an oral history of Battlestar Galactica, and most recently, Nobody Does It Better, a complete oral history of the James Bond films and Spy Mania. Ed Gross will thank you. Hey, Darren, have you been watching us on the Electric Now app?
I have. I haven't recently because I watch you pretty much every week when we're doing these things. But
yeah, but you know, it's you know what I love about the Electric Now app?
It's better
it's
on
so
video.
It's easy to use.
It's
better
really
on video.
Easy. Download the app and you watch us. That's all there is to it.
It's so simple.
And a lot of other cool stuff too.
You go to the App Store, it says Electric Now, you download it, and then
press
the United States.
Press the button, and there it is.
There it is. And you can choose, you can bookmark it. There's plenty of other movies and TV show to enjoy and episodes of all your favorite Electric Surge podcasts. So why wait? Download the Electric Now app and start enjoying us anytime.
Burn, baby, burn. Welcome back to Disco Nights, where we are burning up with the love of all things Star Trek, especially Star Trek Discovery Season 3. I'm excited to be back with our co-host. You have read his work on Den of Geek, Inverse, and StarTrek.com. Great to be with you, Ryan Britt.
Great to be with you, Chase. I'm joined by my co-host, Chase Masterson. You know her best for her 5 years on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Her TV and film roles include The Flash, General Hospital, and ER. She is also the founder of the nonprofit Pop Culture Hero Coalition. We cannot love that enough here at Disco Nights, but we are here to talk about Star Trek Discovery and a new character, an addition to the cast and crew. His name is Rin, but the man behind him, we talked to a couple days ago. And Chase, tell us a little bit more about our special guest.
I'm so excited to have this interview for you. Our guest this week is a truly brilliant actor with a list of powerful theater credits, including leads in pieces as diverse as Lion in Winter, My Name is Asher Lev, Romeo and Juliet, and Dracula. He's also a graduate of the prestigious Juilliard School of Drama, which he attended with his wife, Mary Wiseman, who we love as Tilly. TV credits also include CBS The Good Fight. He is now recurring with truly compelling work as Rin in Star Trek Discovery. What a powerful addition to the cast. Noah Averback Katz.
Yeah, Noah is fantastic. We interviewed Noah a couple days ago talking about the two episodes he's been in Discovery thus far, episode 6, Scavengers, and episode 8, Sanctuary. The first episode, we meet Rin on a junk planet where he's been enslaved by the Emerald Chain and rescued by Book. And then in episode 8, we catch up with Rin and what he's doing on the Starship Discovery, as well as flying one book's ship and grabbing a cat while being with Detmer and having some charming scenes with his wife, Mary Wiseman, as Tilly, and some wonderful scenes with the rest of the crew. But yeah, Chase, I mean, I can't say enough good things about this guy. He's a real Star Trek fan, a lifelong Star Trek fan, and a wonderful, wonderful actor. So I think that we might want to let the interview speak for itself.
Absolutely. Bring it on. We give you Noah Averback Katz.
We are very excited on Disco Nights to have calling into the show Noah Averback Katz. Star Trek Discovery fans know him better as Rin, the new Andorian quasi crew member. You've been sort of recruited. You're hanging out on the ship. And Noah, it's just a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome to Disco Nights.
I'm so welcome. Excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Noah, your work as Rin is so incredibly powerful, and the depth and just the sensitivity that you bring to Rin is incredible, especially because I think of your classic training and also in terms of Star Trek canon, because we don't really have that much on the Andorians. Tell us more about how you found Rin as a combination, I suppose, of your history and also your love for the show.
Well, first off, thank you so much, Chase. That means so much coming from you, somebody who I am sort of like in awe of and bowing down before and geeking out and fanning out. So it really, really means so much to hear that coming from you. I really, really appreciate it.
That's so nice. Thank you. It's an honor to hear.
Absolutely. You know, I in approaching Rin, I mean, the first thing I did was I went and I watched all of Jeffrey Combs's Shran episodes. I watched every single one and just sort of like thought a lot about what it means to be an Andorian. Because, you know, in that show, he's kind of like creating Andorianness. You know, he's like creating the identity of what it means to be an Andorian, because even though there's such a like an iconic image, there's not actually like that much information out there about them or lore about them or canon. And I wanted to bring that and also balance it with what the script was calling for, you know, which was somebody who had been sort of broken by somebody really, really powerful. And so the way that I approached it or thought about it was, I mean, I'm a huge nerd. I'm a huge geek. I love Star Trek. So I think a lot about like Star Trek in general. And I thought a lot about like, well, what, how do I think about all these different aliens and all these different races? And I thought about a lot about how like, for all the kind of main alien races, there's something that they're presenting and then there's something that they're covering, which I think is going to kind of the training part. You know, if you think about it as an actor, there's something you're presenting and then the subtext. And so like, I thought about it for, you know, like humans, they sort of present this sort of decency and justice and truth or whatever. And below it, they're sort of covering their animal instincts, their baser, you know, manipulative instincts. Or for Vulcans, they're sort of presenting their hyperlogical and covering kind of, you know, their totally base crazed emotionality. And I thought a lot about it for Andorians based off of Jeffrey Combs's performance. And he sort of presents this sort of blustering, confident, unflappable, aggressive, front-footed guy. And then I think throughout the series, we see these moments of like really deep sensitivity, of real loss, of real pain, and like really, really feeling it in a really deep way. And so my approach was to sort of say, okay, well, for Rin, he's already had his moment of like bluster, of confidence, of like taking control and trying to rally people behind him, and it's failed. So we're actually meeting him at his low point, at his deep loss and sensitivity, and in my mind, the sort of story for him is sort of regaining that other part of his Andorian identity, regaining his confidence, regaining his sort of front-footedness, which I think we get to see a lot more in 308, which is great. That was my approach. Who knows if it wind up working out, but that's what I thought about.
I think, yeah.
It is absolutely so beautifully layered. And the fact that you hold secrets and that you're obviously coming back, I think is just, it's so exciting. I mean, it's Discovery has a wonderful way of keeping us intrigued and luring us into the next episode. And this is such a major part of it. You're such a beautiful addition to the cast, both in terms of your work as an actor and in terms of the character of Rin. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
And I just want to add that for listeners and viewers, if you're watching us on the Electric Now video app, but listeners of the podcast, if you don't know who Jeffrey Combs is and who Shran is, he was an Andorian character on Star Trek Enterprise, which Noah has told me is his not so secretly favorite Trek. But Chase, I was wondering, because Jeffrey Combs played Weyoun on Deep Space Nine, did you have any Jeffrey Combs interactions, or were you guys starships passing? And then what is Jeffrey Combs like? Of the three of us, you're the one who knows.
Well, I had quite a lot of interaction with him as the character of Brunt. And we crossed paths as Weyoun, but we worked together when he was Weyoun, but we worked together when he was Brunt. And I'll tell you, Jeffrey is the one actor who, even after a 12-hour day, I would get out of makeup and then go sign out and go back and just sit there and watch, because he was so captivating. And I think it has so much to do, Noah, with what you said about what the front-footedness is and what the cover is. And Jeffrey obviously has that in droves as an actor. That's why he's been back as how many characters. But anyway, it's something that you so beautifully have too. I'd love to see Rin in really every light because of what you bring. Just the layers, the colors, lovely.
So jealous you got to watch him work. That must have been so awesome. I feel like he just has that like weird, like crazy magnetism where you're like, what is this guy doing? Is he gonna hurt somebody right now?
He's so silently still and creepy. There's a stillness to his work that is absolutely captivating because he does nothing. It's lovely and those incredible scenes when you were working in the escape and when you helped escape, I think is so much at the heart of Star Trek as mm-hmm. you know, Rin in his deepest moment of feeling lost and just as he's betrayed his whole society, that you come through as a hero and help the escape of the slaves. Tell me what the feeling of that, what was that like to shoot?
It was so, so wild, so much fun. That was my second day of shooting. And like my first day, you know, I had spent a lot of time on the sets because I would walk around with Mary and I, you know, just like be googly eyed and look around and be excited. And my second day of shooting, we went out to Hamilton, Canada at this like massive steel factory where they already had like smokestacks blowing fire up. And I'm just like, oh my God, like what have I gotten myself into? This is like so beyond anything that I even know what to do. I've only worn the prosthetic once before. Like, here we go. And I think I have to give so much credit to David Ajala because he was just so interested in the acting, interested in the connection, so interested in exploring like what our relationship was previous to the kind of moment we meet everybody. And that really allowed me to kind of like focus on doing the job and not getting like wrapped up in the giant fireball going off right behind my head. But he was such a good leader because we had this kind of group of extras, you know, we're supposed to like kind of make this run for it. And I'd never really worked with a huge group of extras before, but David immediately took the lead, brought everybody into like a football huddle, was get everybody like hyped up and jumping, and everybody was just like so on board. So it really did feel like we were doing something together, like we were actually, you know, like doing something awesome and amazing and running and we're everyone, all the extras, David, me, it was just like such a level of commitment that just made it so fun, feel so real. It was just unbelievable. It was so much fun.
Gorgeous. Yeah, really wonderful, fun, and so much at the heart of Star Trek, you know, to see a character who's so beaten down and, you know, felt as he's betrayed everyone, including himself, to then turn around and find his own sense of heroism in a moment, in a pivotal moment. It's such a beautiful lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
I also like that was your second day. And that's my favorite part of that story, is that it was your second day and you were already having to do that. Noah, we talked before a little bit last week, and you were telling me about how your mom kind of got you into Star Trek. Now, for our listeners who don't know, Noah is also the real life partner of Mary Wiseman, who plays now First Officer Tilly of the USS Discovery. I want to talk about that in a second, but I want to talk about, there was a quote floating out there around about your mom sort of teaching you life lessons through Star Trek. And I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit, because at Disco Nights, we are big supporters of something that Chase works with, which is the Pop Hero, the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, just a nonprofit group who, promotes mental health awareness for kids and, anti-bullying stuff. So I don't know, I kind of wanted to listen to you guys talk about that aspect of it, because I know as a fan, my life lessons that I've learned, primarily just never stop loving Star Trek, because you can then do a podcast with two Star Trek actors when you're 39 years old. But, you know, what is the deeper significance here? Chase, I don't know, for you and for Noah, I don't know, what do you guys think about all that?
Noah, I'd love to hear your thoughts, and then I'll chime in on that.
It's such a good question, because I don't think that there's like one answer. You know, I can point out to when I didn't want to get bar mitzvahed, and she pointed me to the episode of Next Gen with Alexander where he gets his bar mitzvah. And that's like a very one-to-one relationship that is very specific to my mother and to me. But I've thought about it a lot, what is that part of Star Trek? Why is, Star Trek, it's more than just a morality play, it's more than just here's right, here's wrong, here's what happens when you make either decision. I think especially for my mom, who is a therapist, it gives a place to experience emotions, experience the bigger ideas tied to emotional ideas like life and death and birth, or what it means to be, to feel lost, to feel you're stuck in something you don't want to be in, to kind of explore these kind of bigger emotional ideas, which I think are related to mental health. I feel so often it's that feeling of somebody being on the outside and not being able to get in, of what it means to sort of be depressed, be lost, be sad. And I think it gives a space to experience these things together, to not even have a common language to talk about it, but a common language to talk about the feeling, So it's what does it feel like to lose somebody? And you're both watching, Wesley Crusher interact with his dead dad in a hologram, and you're both feeling that together. And suddenly you have a shared connection of the emotion, because the idea is clear, you're sad when you lose somebody, you feel depressed, but how to really excavate the emotional experience is, I think, something that Star Trek can really offer. And I think that happens so much on Deep Space Nine as well, Chase. It's so much of, especially, Next Gen and DS9 is excavating the emotional experience of sexism, racism, of class, so much of that comes in. What I love about it is it's deeper than just the idea, it's the emotional experience as well. I don't know if that rings true at all for you, Chase.
Absolutely, through and through. I first want to say I did read about your mom being a therapist and your dad being head of Mother Jones, which I'm a huge fan of both of those things.
Wow.
And I absolutely wholeheartedly agree that it's the motion that ties us to this show. More than it being morality shows, Star Trek and psychology asks us questions rather than gives us answers. And it leaves us, it trusts the audience to form our own answers, which is a deeper way of leading us to our own truths and to societal truths. As Ryan mentioned, for that reason, in 2013, I founded Pop Culture Hero Coalition, which is the first ever organization to use Star Trek and other television and film to teach children empathy and resilience and other mental health skills and to end bullying, racism, et cetera. Just on that note, I'll say your cast, more than any cast, I think, has really understood and grasped what it means, what we have been given, the legacy that we walk into as cast members or as anyone close to this incredible show. I think your cast has really embraced the responsibility and the beauty of what this show means to so many people. And I guess what I'm saying is the responsibility that we have in upholding that, in singing that out and all that it means. I also, and your cast has been beautifully involved in the coalition's work, so thank you. I just want to say also, regarding Adira, you had mentioned that Adira and Gray are so much of what are going to draw the audience in toward the future of Discovery. Tell us more about that and working with those two beautiful actors.
You know, I think you mentioned it's such like the cast of Discovery brings so much personal history, so much personal activism to the show, you know, especially starting with Wilson and Anthony, who are just kind of like icons, you know, and just having them be present in this world is so incredible. And it just brings another level to it, you know? And I think, you know, I personally never unfortunately got to work with Blue or Ian like acting wise, but I've gotten to know them off the show playing D&D with them both. And I think that they, both of them are the ones who are going to sort of carry this legacy forward, you know, because I think what everyone is sort of learning in 2020 and sort of beyond is that it's not a static thing. It's not something that is finished. This kind of work of empathy work or understanding or like true kindness, you know, true being a true progressive is not finished. It continues. And I really, really think that Ian and Blue are both incredible stewards of this idea. And I also think both of them are really, really good actors as well. And so I just think that, you know, my hope and what I think will happen is they're going to be an entry point for a lot of younger viewers who, you know, see themselves reflected in both their sort of Star Trek personalities, but also their kind of offline personalities as well, or their internet personalities, if you will, because they are absolutely tapped in a way that I, as a 31-year-old, am like struggling to keep up with. You know what I mean? And I think they just really, they bring such an incredible perspective of what it means to be your authentic self, of what it means to be gracious and kind and understanding, and also what it means to participate in a full way and demand acceptance in a full way. So I'm just so excited for them.
It's so quite beautiful. Yeah.
Noah, this is great stuff. Thanks again for coming on to Disco Nights and chatting with us. I feel like if we were all in the same city, we could just all get some drinks and have some, I don't know, mozzarella sticks sound good to me right now. But I wanted to ask you just a few kind of like rapid fire ones about, we talked a little bit about how you were definitely a bigger fan, bigger Trekkie than Mary. but I've noticed on Twitter a couple days ago, you were like posting, like making Mary watch like old episodes of Enterprise. Like, what is like the single, like most like nuts Star Trek rewatch that you've done with Mary since she was cast that she was like, whoa, I can't believe that's a part of Star Trek. Bonus points if Chase is in it. But I mean, I'm serious though, because I do rewatches with my wife. It's a completely different experience. And sometimes she'll be just like, I can't believe this is a real episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. You know? Just watched the episode of Enterprise where Trip gets pregnant, and just the sort of like politics of it are so 2001 and absolutely insane, and like this the special effects are like just really, really weird. It's just such a different vibe that she's like, what is this? And I'm like, this is, I feel like what I want to keep introducing her to is like the campy side of Star Trek, which I feel like, Chase, you like really are just like a huge, huge perfect part of. But I feel like Star Trek is so campy sometimes in the best way. And I think that's part of why we love it. And I think people can sometimes look back with rose-colored glasses, and then you watch the episode and you're like, he has a nipple on his arm and he's growing another one. Like, this is Star Trek. This is where we're at. So that was definitely one that that stuck out. The other thing that I had her watch when she first got cast was Trekkies, which I feel like is the thing that I'm like, look, like, for good and for bad, you need to understand this is what you are now a part of, which I think really encapsulates like a lot of the insanity of Star Trek and the beauty of the fandom as well. I watched that movie many, many times when I was younger and was like, oh God, I am one, but I can't be, but I am. So I think that was a really, really good way for her to just immediately understand like the bizarro world that is also like very sweet and beautiful of Star Trek, and particularly Star Trek fandom.
You know, when people bring up the bizarro world, oftentimes, yes, it is true. The news media loves to focus on that, the weirdest costumes around. But really, the hearts of Star Trek fans are the best hearts I've ever met.
I agree. I've
never been afraid in a group. There's always such a sense of values for what this show leads us to care about. So more power to you guys.
You know, I think it is... You know, another part, especially, you know, now it's like cosplay and cons, like it's so ubiquitous. It's so welcoming. It's so inclusive of all different kinds of pop culture, all different kinds of community. But I, you know, even back when I was going to conventions in the early 2000s, it really did feel like a place for people who wanted a sense of community, who were truly interested in being kind, good, excited
people. Yes.
But didn't necessarily fit into the more mainstream places where you could kind of participate in pop culture community or in, you know, kind of community in general. It was a place for them to go. And I think it was such a wide range because it wasn't just like, you know, capital N nerds. It was also people like my mom who were looking for a place where sort of the emotions were included or a place where the costumes were included. And it's just so expansive and welcoming that I think it really is a place for so many different kinds of people, which is what makes it, I think, so lovely.
So beautiful point of connection. And that's why it's so important to really have our hearts say, no, it's nice to meet you to these guys, you know?
I could go into Star Trek conventions with moms is the best. My mom in 92 was unable to speak after we waited in line for autographs for Michael Dorn. Yeah, and so my mom was like, he's so handsome. And she like couldn't handle it. It was great. I'll never forget it. My sister was way too young to be there, but she did ask Michael Dorn if it was scary when the Enterprise had to fight the Borg, which was pretty great.
Just wait until you randomly get in an elevator with a bunch of guys dressed as Rin. Just wait.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I feel like, that's a good, you know, what's some... you know, what's going to happen? Are you going to do some conventions, you think, when things lighten up?
First off, the last convention I went to is 2012 in Chicago. And we my mom or my dad, I don't know who caved, but somebody finally caved. And we did a family picture with Patrick Stewart. And immediately afterwards, me and my dad were like, wow, that was so cool. And my mom just sort of walked into a corner and started weeping. And we all did a group hug while she was just like weeping, sort of like she had just met Paul McCartney and she was 14. It was amazing. I would seriously do any convention. I would love to do a convention because, like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm going to be sort of on both sides of the table, you know, looking and being like, oh my God, it's that. And then, like, also, like, I'm also just so excited to meet the fans because, like, I understand that experience. I understand the experience of, like, how much it means to get to meet somebody and for them to give you a kind word or smile. So to be able in any way to kind of give back or participate in that, I would love to do that. You know, I'm there for anything. Absolutely.
Wonderful to hear. That enthusiasm is so, it's so perfect and right and beautiful.
Noah, it's been a pleasure having you on Disco Nights. You are a wonderful addition to the Star Trek Discovery family. And all I want to know next is if you're going to get to regrow your Andorian antenna at some point. That's just my big question.
We will see.
We will see. Thanks again, Noah.
Thanks Noah, so much. Thank you so much. This has been such a huge pleasure. And can't wait to see more of you and Rin.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, you guys. I've just been having so much fun. So just having a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Noah.
Thank you and welcome. Yay.
This show is produced by Dean Devlin and Mark A. Altman and is an Electric Surge Network production.